we're going to start on page one. You're going to notice in the top of page one, source number one. This is from, I mentioned this last night to anybody who was in my Mincha last night, which would be Steve. So don't give it away. First of all, I want to thank Miriam Stocker for the fruit. Hear, hear. Okay. Source number one, Tav Resh Pei Vav. Tav Resh Pei Vav. You don't have page one?
I don't have anything.
Oh, anybody have page one?
This is three.
Why don't you guys, somebody share?
It's three, brother.
I have three.
Look at this packed house. Holy mackerel. Okay. I want to also welcome back Mr. Trowrig from sunny Florida. Are you back or you're leaving? Oh, okay, good. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tav Resh Pei Vav, Din Tinus Esther. So the rules of Tinus Esther. Howard, you guys have a set? Okay. Misadim v'yugimu ba'adar. We fast on yugimu ba'adar. Okay? And if that's the halacha, that there's a fast of yugimu ba'adar, we all know what's that called? Tinus Esther. There's only one problem. What's the problem? Problem is, if we remember our chronology from last week, when did Esther fast?
Pesach.
Esther fasted, right. 13th of Nisan, the 14th of Nisan, and the 15th day of Nisan. 3 days. Esther definitely did not fast the 13th day of Adar. So then you're left with a simple question, which is?
Why do we fast?
No, why do we fast? So why do we fast? Let's see why we fast. This is the Mishnah Berurah, source number one, Mishnah Berurah. Mis'anim yugim of Adar. Ki, because, b'yimei Mordechai ve'Esther, Nikalu b'yom yugim ba'adar lihilachem v'la'amod al nafsham. They gathered together on the 13th day of Adar to battle and to defend their lives. V'ayutzrichim v'bakesh rachamim v'tachanunim. And they needed to ask God for compassion and tachanunim and plead for mercy. Shiyazrem Hashem v'hinakeh mo'evehem. That God would help them avenge from their enemies. U'matzinu, and we find that on the days of war, they would fast. So as our forefathers said, as the Rav Chazal said, that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day of the fast, on the day of the war with Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu fasted. Now, by the way, just prove to me from the Navi that the people who were fighting themselves should not have fasted. And then remember?
What?
Come on, Eddie.
No.
There you go.
Remember
right.
When the son took some of the honey and...
Remember, what did Saul say to all the Jewish people?
Whoever eats.
Right, no eating. And what did Jonathan say about Saul? What did Jonathan say after he came back? Remember his social... Anybody remember? He said, what are you, crazy? You're going to make the army fast on the day you have to go fight? And what was the result? The result was the Plishtim were able to flee. They were able to run away. And
fight another day.
But they were, in the day that you have the advantage, you want to take advantage of that advantage and wipe out your enemy. So it's just interesting to point out that who fasted? Moshe Rabbeinu fasted on that day. Still, Chazal say, in Cain, if so, b'vadai gam b'yimei Mordechai hayu mis'anim ba'oso yom. Definitely they fasted on that day. Okay? Who fasted on that day?
Not the fighters.
Assume the we, the leaders, the women, the children, absolutely. So that the fighters, they have to fight. And everybody else, you have to fast because it's a serious day. Well, therefore, now go call Yisrael these anos to be gimel ba'adar. The Jewish people, they have the minug. It's only a custom to fast on the 13th day of Adar. Now it's interesting to note, it's not brought down in Chazal. It's not even brought down as a Kabbalah and acceptance. It's just a minug. So you should know that, let's say, for example, if you knew someone who was, pregnant or nursing, so that person would not have to fast on Tinus Esther because it's a much more lenient fast, even lechatchila, they don't have to fast at all. Now, we're only left with one problem. It's very nice that that's why we fast on the Gimel of Adar, on the 13th of Adar. Except, what problem are we left with?
We only fast for one day, and they fast for three.
No, remember, it's not the same day.
So why
don't we fast that?
We're not... If it's not even the same day.
What should we call it?
It wasn't only Esther.
Tiny Purim. Right. Tiny Persia. Very right. Why is it called Tiny Esther?
Because she's the one that initiated it. And
what? She's the one that came up with the idea of fasting?
Yeah.
She made it up?
She fasted when she
was the one that was putting her life at stake.
Right.
And she said that we should fast, and that's why we honor her in that respect.
Shalom Gedalia is the day that Gedalia got killed. Right. Esther didn't get killed on Tinus Esther, thank God.
Well,
she survived.
That's why you could have.
Not on Tinus Esther. Tinus Esther, she was already, you know, she was good. So why is it called Tinus Esther?
Because she initiated it.
Oh, she initiated. Okay. I mean, Eddie, are you happy with that answer?
No. Why
not? Yeah, Eddie's happy with the answer. So let's look. The Chavetz Chaim gives his answer in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, oh, why is it called Tinus Esther? It's called Tinus Esther. Today we score, so that we'll remember, Hashem Yisbarach Ro'er B'Shomea Kol Ish Be'esh Tzaraso Kasher Yis'anev Yashuv Al Hashem B'chol Avavo. Called Tinus Esther, so that we'll remember that God sees and hears every person in his time of need, when he fasts and does tshuva with all his heart, as it was done in those days. So you're still left with another question, though. So why is it still called Tinus Esther? And that is going to be our question to understand when we learn Parakeh today. If you'll please open your Megillah. Because it's on the day before. You want to say it's because of the night, but it should be called the pre-Purim fest. Tinus Purim. Would that make sense?
But we read Megillah Esther.
We read the Megillah is called Megillah Esther. That I can understand, but it's, why would it be the fest of Esther? To be Tinus Purim. Why specifically about Esther? Parakeh, chapter 5. So we will do as we always do. We'll read the parak, we'll read the chapter, and I encourage you to begin pointing out things that are that are concerning to you, things that bother you, things that seem unusual, abnormal. Vayihi b'yom ha-shlishi, and it was on the third day, v'tilbash Esther Malchus, v'ta'amod b'chatzar beis ha-melech ha-pnimish, nochach beis ha-melech. V'tilbash Esther Malchus literally means, and Esther wore royalty, and Esther dressed as royalty. V'ta'amod, and she stood b'chatzar beis ha-melech ha-pnimish, in the inner courtyard, nochach beis ha-melech, opposite, facing the house of the king. V'hamelech yoshev al kisei malchuso b'beis ha-malchus, nochach pesach habayis. And lo and behold, what do you know? The king is facing out. He's facing out of his house, right? Facing the door.
And he saw her.
Vayihi ki yiros hamelech es Esther hamalka omedes bechatzer. And when it was, well, let's go back in a second. What does it mean that Esther was vatilbash Esther malchut?
But she dressed for the occasion. She
in her
as opposed to
he saw her meeting the king clothes as opposed to
as a queen.
Hang around the house hang queen clothes.
Like a paper shopping girl. She got dressed like she's going to school.
What? She got dressed like she's going to approach.
Now that I pointed out to you, does it seem unusual?
She would approach the king.
No, but she's showing him that she wants to be with him, that she wants to talk to him, no? Wasn't this a sign?
Oh, okay, all right.
That's how I always
There's only one other problem, that she wants to be with him, and she's all dressed up, right? What else do we know about Esther and her physical condition right now?
She's fasting.
For?
3 days.
3 days.
So she's probably
yeah, probably. We're going to see a midrash also. So this picks up right on this word, by Shibash Hashemah, page 2. You do? Page 2, number 3, source number 3. We're going to read from the Zohar. Vayihi b'yom ha-shlishi, and it was on the third day. So the Midrash also picks up on this b'yom ha-shlishi. A lot of interesting things about b'yom ha-shlishi. What else happened on b'yom ha-shlishi? Vayihi b'yom right, Abraham saw Vayaris HaMakom Mirachok. What else happened on Yom HaShlishi? The third day, right, we have Shalosh Shimei HaGbala, the giving of the Torah is on the third day. So these things are auspicious. It's a good thing.
And the third day of creation was...
Well, the fourth day was also good. What was the third day?
Tov was Christ. That's why they had weddings on Tuesday night.
Right.
Oh, I learned something. Okay, very good.
You didn't know that one?
I did not. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak opens up and he says, "Vayiba Yom Hashlishi, Vatilbas Esther Malchus, It's Megillas Esther Beruach HaKodesh Ne'emra. Megillas Esther was written in Beruach HaKodesh with divine inspiration. Ubegain, this is the Zohar, so it's in Aramaic. Ubegain kach ksuva ben haksuvim. And because of this, that's why it was included in the ksuvim in the Holy Canon. Vayhi b'yom ha'shalishi, and it was on the third day, the itchalash chela d'gufa, she lost her physical ability, her physical power. V'hakayma berucha below gufa. And she stood with beruach, with her spirit, and no, without her body. Kedein v'atilbash Esther malchus, and that's what it means when it says Esther wore malchus. My malchus. What does it mean, malchus? If you want to say what it means is that Esther got dressed up, she wore her beautiful ornaments. Halav hachi ikre. They're not calling that. It wouldn't call it that. It wouldn't say that. It would say Ella bat tilbash Esther malchus. What would it say? What does it mean when it says bat tilbash Esther malchus? Di labashet bimalchut ila'a kadisha. I'll read that again. She adorned herself with the malchus of the Holy One, exalted is He. Meaning what? Vadai, skipping the parentheses, Vadai lavsha ruach hakodesh. Esther, when she went, it says, Vatilbash Esther malchus, it means Esther was blessed with divine inspiration, with ruach hakodesh. And her ruach hakodesh allowed her to succeed. So that only begs another question. Who is Esther? What do we know about Esther? What do we know about where she is, the situation she's in, her life? What do we know about her? Betty?
Not much.
We know she's married to a non-Jewish king. We know she's stuck in the palace of the king. She's a queen. She's the only Jew there. How from could Esther have been as the queen, stuck in the king of the palace of Ahasuerus, not allowed to reveal that she's a Jew?
She ate cheese.
She didn't eat very much, right? That's what Mitra says?
She
was on sugar busters. Okay, thank you. Only fruits, right. You know.
That's why we have a hummus. The hummus and the man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's so many wild midrashim and lore about
her. She looks green was because she ate the poppy seeds.
Now, Vashti looked green, not Esther. I said, I mean, she looked green like the
hummus. She was green because she ate poppy seeds. I'm trying to figure out
what the connection between one or the other is. Okay.
Right.
So let me ask you this. If I were to ask any one of you, Zoya, what would it take for a person to achieve Ruach HaKodesh?
You have to be on a higher madrega.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be on a spiritual madrega, on a higher level. You have to have a connectedness with God. Why did Esther get Ruach HaKodesh?
She's on that level.
So again, I'm asking you, of all the things we know about her,
She obviously deserved to have it.
So the Zohar raises this question. The Zohar says, why did Esther deserve to have Ruach HaKodesh? So listen to what he says. And then we're going to read the rest of the parak, and then we're going to come back to the Zohar and read it a little more liberally later. Says the Zohar, my time, I see the 5 lines from the bottom of the Zohar, 5 lines from the end of number 3. Says the Zohar, in the middle of the line after the parentheses. My Talma Zachta Lahai Atar. Why in the world did Esther merit to have Ruach HaKodesh? It's a fair question. Begain Dinatra Puma Delo Lechava Midi. Why? Because she shut her mouth, she guarded her mouth not to reveal anything. Hu Hadavar, that's what it means. Ain Esther Mageret Moladeta. And we learn from this, V'upina, Kol Man Dinatra Pume Belishne. Anyone who guards his mouth and his tongue, Zachi li'itlabsha beruach de'ucha de'kadsha. You are Ruach HaKodesh? Well said. She didn't open, what?
Nothing.
She didn't open her mouth. I don't want to know.
Is Esther a descendant of Sarah? Is there?
What, we all?
Yeah.
Yeah, Esther would I kind of have to be, yeah. Why? Where are you going with that?
I just heard it. I'm going
to... The answer would have to be yes, but you'd have to try to find some significance to that, some such significance.
Okay,
but the Zohar, I want to point out, Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. We believe Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. Well, where did she get it from? So the Zohar says she had it because...
At
Because she didn't speak about other people. You don't talk about other people. But I'll leave that as an open question. Let's go back to Pasuk Beis. So here's Esther standing in the courtyard of the king. And the king saw the queen. He liked her. And he extended his golden scepter. Esther, she came close, and she touched the head of the scepter. Is that like the deal? You're supposed to touch the head of the scepter? What? I guess so, right. You're standing there. Okay. Let's look at the midrash. There are some midrashim that I brought here, not because they're bolster whatever point I'm trying to make, but it's important to be literate in these midrashim. Because these midrashim are very well known, kind of like the poppy seed thing, but not really. But it's important to know. What was Esther up against? Meaning, when Ahasuerus saw her, did he want her to come in, or did he not want her to come in? So it sounds like he wanted her to come in. Says the midrash, number four. It was on the third day. Esther wore her beautiful clothing and the adornments of her beauty. She brought with her her two maidservants. Why? She had one girl that she was leaning on. And the other girl was walking behind her. And this girl's job was to make sure that the gold wouldn't touch the floor. It wasn't allowed. Tatsil, I think it means it would brighten her face. And it would cover the anguish, the worry in her heart. Right? And she enters in front of the king. He looks up and he sees his Esther standing right there. He picks up his eyes and he sees Esther. And the king saw her, says the Midrash. He boiled in rage. I made a rule. Nobody comes without being called. And look what she does. She breaks my rules. But he saw Esther lifts up her eyes and she sees the king, bad. His eyes are like fire from the anger that's in his heart. Batakir hamalka et ketzef hamelech. And she sees his anger. She recognizes his anger. Batid bahel ma'od. She becomes very confused. Batafeg rucha. Batasha morsa al hanara samechet yimina. Her spirit becomes depressed. And she puts her head on the woman who's to her right. Meaning she's got this woman she's leaning on her right. She just loses it. And she puts her head down on her maid, standing right there. Vayar Elokeinu vayachmol al amo. And God saw this, and he had compassion on his people. Vayifen litzar hayitoma asher batchabo. And he turned to the yitoma, to the orphan that had faith in him. Vayiten lachem lifnei hamelech. And he gave her favor in the eyes of the king. Vayosef yofi al yofya vahadar al hadara. And he made her even more beautiful and more wonderful and more good looking. And the king sees this, he's like angry, and before his eyes he sees this woman that he knew was beautiful turn even more beautiful if that was even possible. Right? And he runs to her and he hugs her and he kisses her. And he puts his hand on her neck. No, what are you afraid of? That's not, that rule, that's not for you. It was never meant for you. I never meant you. It was not you. You're my beloved. You're my friend. How come you didn't say anything when you walked in? You know, like here he is, like boiling, ready to kill her. He's going to have her put to death. And then he has a sudden change of heart. So what causes his change of heart? God. Direct intervention. In fact, another midrash says, and it says the king extended his scepter. It, the king didn't do it. It says, Ba Malach, an angel came and pushed it. So even if you take that literally, you don't have to take it literally. You can take it figuratively. What it means is the hands of God moved Achashverosh in some way. So this midrash and that midrash are the same. Somehow she miraculously became much more beautiful and appealing in his eyes. And where he's angry a minute ago, ready to have her put to death for violating his law, all of a sudden now, oh, my beautiful, runs over, he hugs her, he kisses her. No, it's not for you, I never meant that. How come you're afraid? I don't understand what you're afraid of in the first place. But clearly it's important to understand that the hand of God is directly involved. Actually, it fits it very well. And why is the hand of God involved? What did Esther do? What did she do? Very simple. Batasem Rosha al Nahara Hasomechet Yemina. It's a very powerful image. What does Esther do? She puts her head down. In a sense, she submits. I can't do anything else. What else is there to do? And we'll come back to that. Yeah, Mina, you had a question.
Sorry, I just wanted to point out that that phrase of Moshe saying was used to describe Esther with the guy in the first woman house that he went to, that was his reaction to her, and that was everybody's reaction to her, and that was also Ahasuerus's reaction to her, that maybe you could see a trend in Hashem's hand in this, because otherwise why would Esther have all those...
Right, why does everybody always like Esther?
Why
sure.
Why always Esther, the same exact phrase of the notes they came, but Hashem all of a sudden would make her even more beautiful.
Nasachem Deinav. Oh, very nice. Okay, thank you. Pasuk Yomo. V'yomah ha-melech malach Esther ha-melka. Malach. Malach is interesting, but what's up? Okay, what do you want? U'ma bakashatech, what is your request? Al chasi ha-malchut v'yinatein lach. I'll give you up to half the kingdom, you can have it. What do you want? Now, it's interesting to note, how does the king know she wants something?
She's
yeah, what's she doing there? Sorry. What do you want? What, you know, and it's hard to know what's going on in the king's mind. But Tomer Esther, Im ha-melech tov, if you're in a good mood, Yavo ha-melech v'haman hayom el hamishteh asher asisi lo. Do me a favor, let the king and Haman come to the party that I prepared for him. Vayomer ha-melech, says the king, Maharu el Haman la'asot es devar Esther. Hurry him up. Go get Haman, quick. And Haman and the king come to the party that Esther made. So the king says, he's all, you know, he's had a couple of drinks, probably more than a couple. She softened them up a little bit. What's your request? I'll give it to you. What are you asking for? Ad chatzia malchut v'teyas. By the way, what does he keep saying, An chasi ha-malchut v'teyas?
Well, he's willing to give her, but not everything. I'm not
going
to let you share.
I'm going to share? That's so nice of him. No. It's just a very weird language, don't you think? He keeps saying that. Up to half the kingdom you can have.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his shtick. I don't know.
He's not going to give her everything.
He's not going to give her everything, right. Okay, whatever. Even a divorce settlement. I don't know. Okay. Vatan Esther Vatomar. Esther answers and she says, She'elati u'bakashati. This is what I want. Imatzati chen v'enei ha-melech. V'iv al ha-melech tov. If I find favor in the king's eyes and if the king is in a good mood, latet et she'elati v'lasot et bakashati. You know, she's really building this one up, right? If you, I don't want to ask you, I hope you're, you know, if it's okay with you, if you don't mind. This is what I want. I've been really wanting this for such a long time. Finally, Ahasuerus is going to, like, spit it out already. What is it? Yavo ha-melech v'haman ha-mishter asher aseh lahem. U'machar e'eseh kidvar ha-melech. let the king and Haman come to the Mishteh that I married Lahem, that I'll make for them. Umachar e'esek idvar hamelech. What does that mean, machar e'esek idvar hamelech?
I'll tell you what I want.
Translate, please.
I'll do like the king's word.
So tomorrow I will do like the king's word.
I will answer your question.
Why doesn't she say that? What does it mean, machar e'esek idvar hamelech? Remember, you understand the question? Sure. Umachar agid et lemelech, vashani ratzah. What does it mean, machar e'esek idvar hamelech?
She wants to make it seem like it's his idea. Is it right? I mean, isn't that how it says? E'esek idvar, I'll do as you say.
Says Rashi. Rashi's unbelievable.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. It's very big. Rashi says, machar e'esek idvar hamelech, masha bikashta mineni, kol hayamim. What does the king want it from her? What's the one thing she has that he doesn't have? Well, he doesn't want that. He didn't care about that.
Ah, who she is?
Right. The only thing she has over him is her secret. She will not tell him who she is.
But
she says, tomorrow, legalot lecha et ami vet moladeti. Tomorrow I'll tell you who I am. What? Pretty big thing? All right.
Well,
that's what it means. Machar esek idvar hamelech. Yeah.
Didn't we have that before that everybody else knew?
We wondered about it. We didn't have an answer.
About the biggest rumor in the king's court.
I wondered aloud, what did everybody think? But we know. I mean, it's one of those mysteries of the Megillah that nobody seems to have put two and two together and figured it out. But okay. Fine. My question for you is, and this is where my wife, the stenographer, comes in. What is Esther's plan? Yes, please. Okay. You probably have to push it down. It's kind of hard to see. And maybe focus.
Where are we looking? I think you're up on the ceiling.
You're on the ceiling.
Oh.
Is there a focus on that thing?
Yeah, on this side.
Can't see anything. No, turn the thing up and down. Turn the knob. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
It's getting there.
Too far. No.
Okay, I can't see squat. Oh, that's better. That is better. What is Esther's plan? So I would like suggestions. What is Esther's plan? What is she trying to do? We all know how it ends up. So you have a bunch of different questions. On the one hand, why two parties? What?
She wants to arouse suspicion.
Okay, Rena, we got one. Do your best. Arouse suspicion. Arouse suspicion for who?
For the king.
For the king. Well, wait 1 second.
No.
Give up the focus. You want to write it or you want to forget, you know? Right, please. Arouse suspicion, what, between Haman and the king?
Right, yeah, no, between Haman and her.
Eddie says it's to arouse suspicion?
Between her and Haman. Why is she inviting Haman to the
to the make
party?
The king think there's something going on.
Right.
Okay.
That's the idea we all talked about.
Against Haman. Anybody else? That's it?
Why the two parties? Is that your question?
I don't know. What is Esther's plan? What does she think is going to happen? She's got a plan, right? What is the plan? Nobody ever thought of this?
She's buying time by not giving the final answer.
She's buying time. She says her plan is to stall indefinitely and never to ask the king?
Well, to make him good and happy and comfortable. And
okay, butter him up.
She's establishing relationships.
Why did she invite Haman?
Because he's the only one of that he trusts. Is that not true? Of anybody? Isn't he his like right-hand man?
Haman is the right-hand man, yeah, but why would she invite him to the party where she's going to say that Haman is the most evil man ever?
Oh. Yeah, but if the king is... If he becomes jealous that Haman is trying...
Okay, you got your theory, okay? I need another theory.
I
don't dislike your theory at all. I think your theory is a wonderful theory.
With Haman being there, maybe she can make it so he can demonstrate what a jerk he is.
Okay, demonstrate that Haman's a jerk, maybe? You want to demonstrate Haman's a jerk? It is worse without the glasses. What else? Anyone? What? It needs my glasses? Oh, it's not that much better. What else? No one?
So that he won't think that she's Jewish because she's inviting him.
Ah, so maybe the king, to throw the king off. Mm-hmm. Or to throw
Haman
off. Meaning if Esther starts planning these secret meetings 2 days after, you know, he hears the queen didn't take any food. And 2 days afterwards, the queen goes in for this special, and nobody knows who the queen is.
Sure,
and she goes in for this special...
probably know that all the Jews, since she's obsessed with them and fasting.
Right.
It'd be pretty obvious. The queen's fasting also.
Uh-huh.
So that's your question of what do you put two and two together?
Well, you
know... That she's fasting.
Well, maybe, would he know? Wouldn't you know? I don't know. Maybe you would know me.
It says that she and her household were fasting.
Oh, it doesn't say... Well, right, but how would Haman know that? He's not allowed in.
They could just be dumping the food.
Maybe word travels. Who knows? You know what's the phrase? Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. All right, we know it was a good idea.
Somebody smushed it in and broke it because it won't go higher than this and it should go up here.
So that's a problem?
Only if you want to see.
Okay, we'll have to. Yeah. All right. It was a good idea. Anybody else have any suggestions? What? Yeah, it looks that way. Okay. I'd like to thank my stenographer publicly for trying.
Thank you.
Next time, please bring your equipment.
I requested equipment in working order.
Okay. I'm out. Okay. So the question is, what was...
Did you have your mic?
Look at choice number 6. Page 3. Somebody hold on to page 3.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
they're it's in here. Right here.
Oh, wait,
we've
got some more.
This is a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Megillah. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma ra'asa Esther shezimna es Haman. And Mara wants to know, very simply, why did Esther invite Haman? Now, Lezer Omer, Pachim Tamna Lo. A pach is like a stumbling block. What? A trap. She set a trap for him. Shenemar, as it says, Yehi Shulchanam Lifnehem L'pach. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, Libeis Aviha Lamda. She learned it from her father's house. Shenemar, where did she learn it? In Mishlei. Im Rab Sonecha. If your enemy is hungry, ha'achilehu lechem, feed him. V'imzama hashkeihu mayim, and if he is thirsty, give him water. Ki gechalim ata chate al rosho, v'Hashem yishalem lach. You soak the coals on his head, and God will pay you back. How would you say that in English? What in the world is it trying to say? I thought this meant, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Okay? A mayor, meaning, who's the one person that Haman is not going to suspect of trying to foil his plot?
Yes,
Esther. Sure. Why? Because she's inviting me to all these great parties. No problem. A mayor, says, Kidei shelo yitol eitza v'yimrod. Maybe she was afraid he was going to rebel against the king. So Esther is afraid in these 2 days that Haman would overthrow the king. And if he overthrew the king, then nobody would be able to change the decree. Rabbi Yudah says, Kedei shelo yakiru ba shehi yehudis. She'd do it to throw him off, and nobody would know that she's a Jew. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Kedei shelo yomru Yisrael achot yeshanu bebeit hamelech v'yasichu da'atam min harachamim. What would happen? All the Jews would say, what do we need to fast for? Right? We got Esther in the throne, she's the queen. We have no problem, she'll take care of it for us. So what does she do? She invites Haman to the party. So what do all the Jews say? What's she doing about Haman to the party? What's going on? We're in big trouble. So in order for them to be afraid and to keep asking God for compassion, that is why she invited Haman, to trick her own people. She wanted him at her side at all times, just in case the opportunity was right, to stick it to him. Abshimi Menashe Omer, Ulai Yargish Hamakom. Maybe God would understand, would feel it. Meaning, it's one thing to ask for compassion and forgiveness when, you know, you're alone and you're praying before God. But if poor Esther has to stand there sitting next to Haman, her arch enemy, and smile at him and pour wine for him. Oh, Haman, would you like the Merlot or the, you know, Bordeaux? God would see his despicableness and pay back. Last line, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha Omer, Azbir lo panim, kishesh yaharog hu vahi. He says, her plan was, you know what, Eddie, you're like this, I'll make googly eyes at Haman during the party. And what will the king do?
Get jealous.
And kill us both. Ah, Haman, you said this to me last night. You know, you silly boy. Right? King would go, you know, what's going on here? Yeah, right. And that would be the end of the boat. So she would go down with the ship, but it would save the Jewish people. It was just an interesting one. He was a very, how should we say this, political guy. He liked to change his mind a lot. So she says, he changes his mind. Maybe I can get him to change his mind. Why does Haman have to be there? Because if Haman isn't right there, this king, he changes his mind every 10 seconds. Right? What's the bad part about the king? He changes his mind. So what's going to happen? He's going to say, kill Haman. By the time they find Haman, change his mind again. Keep him there.
Haman would hear from the king's mouth, he might not believe.
He says,
okay, I changed my mind. Haman's there
to
hear it.
Right. And Haman actually, it's interesting, makes it worse for himself in the end. Mm-hmm. He's the one that makes it worse for himself. Right. We'll see later on. Yeah. Skip down. I mean, there are like five more answers in the end. So, skip three lines from the bottom. Askechei Rabba Bar Avuha Le'eliyahu. So Rabba Bar Avuha was hanging out one day, and I guess he was at the Schwitz, and lo and behold, who shows up? Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay? Now, only the times of the Gemara does Eliyahu HaNavi show up. I don't know anybody yet who's met him, but probably if they had, they wouldn't tell me. Tell me, we had this big argument over lunch, why Esther invited Haman. So who was right? What was the plan? You're all absolutely right. Every single one of you.
Which means?
What?
Which means?
There's no room for all the aforementioned.
What? Now, it's interesting to me.
But just take the invitation, come to drink. She accomplished all of these plans.
What?
How would her people know? They don't have access inside the kingdom.
Know that she's inviting Haman?
Yeah, why would people outside the kingdom know when they're having parties?
Haman told everyone. Right? Haman publicized the fact. He's telling everybody, yeah, and Esther invited me. He does, we're going to see. And Esther only invited me and the king, and it's just me and the king. Now, it's interesting to note, the Megillah mentions none of this. So here she has this unbelievably sophisticated plan. You're not impressed. You have a face. Yeah, would you like to comment, or just keep your face to yourself?
It's a
cop-out. What?
That's why I'm not a judge. I think it's a cop-out. You're all right.
What do you mean?
As brilliant and wonderful as women are, and as multitasking as they can be, there's no way that she had every single one of these plans in mind.
Okay. I mean, it's said by a woman. I would never say such a thing. Right. I would get tarred and feathered. But my wife could say whatever she wants.
All right.
Okay. Eliyahu HaNavi said that she had all these plans, like through all these different facets. It is nice, and the plan comes together. And that you and one. It is interesting, by the way. Okay, what does it mean?
I don't know. I just saw it now, but there's something beyond. It's not.
Well, by the way, all these reasons are good reasons.
Fine, of course they're all good reasons.
Right.
But one person doesn't have conflicting, 10 different conflicting reasons in their mind.
All right, fine. She had Ruach HaKodesh. Ooh.
To Elu,
I believe. Excuse me. No. I believe Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. I do.
Okay.
I believe
that's what, because actually brings it as a second opinion.
That she had Ruach HaKodesh?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Pasuk Tesh. Vayete Haman Bayom Hahu Sameach V'Tov Lev. Haman goes home. It's great. Everything's great. Uchiros Haman as Mordechai B'Shar HaMelech. And Haman saw Mordechai sitting in the Shar HaMelech, sitting in the gate of the king, sitting in the city. V'lokam B'lozam Mimenu. And Mordechai just looks at him, and if I had to guess, probably spit in his direction. Vayimale Haman al Mordechai Chema. Haman just let loose. Vayit Apak Haman Vayavo Beito. Somebody help me out. What is Vayit Apak? What does it say? What does the scroll say? What? He restrained himself?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
Yeah, he restrained himself.
Vayit Apak. What does that mean? Vayit Apak. I don't know. Vayit Apak, he almost, it's like he's ready to explode.
But did Mordechai know that Esther had invited Haman?
I don't know what Mordechai knows. But when Mordechai sees Haman, he's not going to know.
Well, of course not. But yeah. Did he know that...
Now, I mean, if he didn't get up before, he ain't getting up now,
Especially since he's in
fasting. Didn't he wonder...
He doesn't know what's happening. Maybe he doesn't know. Vayishlach vayaveh et ohavav. This is my favorite line in the whole Megillah. Vayishlach, and he sends, vayaveh et ohavav ve'ezeresh isto. He brings all the people he loves and his wife Zeresh. It's a great line.
Along with that line. Shouldn't it be the other way around?
It's a model ideal relationship. Yeah. All my beloved and my dear wife. Right, come on. That's like out of the Lockhorns, Okay. It's a great line.
Isn't that because don't they say that the advice of a wife turn somebody for good or for bad, how she, we have that in Chumash.
Yeah.
And it gives you, shows you here that the advice his wife gave.
His wife's advice was excellent advice, by the way. His wife was absolutely right on. But I'm just commenting on the fact that how it's described. It should say, Vayishlach et kol ahavav, and he sent away for all the husband, people who loved him, and his wife would be one of them. But it says, and he called all of his friends and his wife. you like that?
Oh, I got it the first time.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe his friends weren't women there.
Right, okay.
She's the only one.
And he told him all about how great his wealth is, and the Rov Banav, I'm going to translate, is as the greatness of his sons. Not how many sons he had, but the strength of his sons. They call Asher Gilo HaMelech, and the king had exalted him. He told him all about how everything's going great. He got a promotion. And only one other person did the queen invite to this party. Me. And tomorrow she's coming to another party. Such a powerful line. All that stuff I told you about, the big bank accounts, the offshore bank accounts, the house in Cancun, the beach home, the Ferrari, the children, nothing. Worthless. B'chol eis asher ani ro'eg Mordechai heyudi yoshev b'shachamel. As long as I have to look at that Jew, it's all worth nothing. And it tells you a lot about Haman and about what his attitude was. See, you have everything. You have everything. You're so powerful. You have everything. Let it go.
If he was so powerful, why didn't he just have Mordechai bumped off?
Well, Mordechai was an official of the king. Shar HaMelech means he was Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. He had to have permission to do that. He was Mordechai. He was a king appointee.
He could have been beat.
You ask a good question. She says, but it's a powerful, it's an unbelievable thing. You have everything. But you can say, if I don't have everything, literally, if one thing bothers me, I have nothing. I can't concentrate anything else. You feel like Haman came out of a Seinfeld. That guy Mordechai, oh, you're driving me crazy. Give me a break. Move on to something else. Okay, you're going to have me killed in another year. But no, it's all worthless to me. So So Zeresh's wife and all of his beloveds, again, see that? Zeresh is still
b'chol olavav. Well, this time she got popular, so it's okay.
Yeah. Yasu H, because she's the one speaking. By the way, what's the law of the land about husbands and wives?
Oh.
What's the law of the land? The law of the land is the man speaks and the woman listens. Except, of course, for Haman, whose wife tells him what to do. Okay? It's interesting. And also Achashverosh, whose wife tells him what to do. There is some irony there, don't you think? You're right. Make a tree 50 amos high. In the morning, you'll tell the king, I will hang Mordechai. And you'll be happy, and then you'll come to the king, and it'll be a great party. Good idea. He made the tree. By the way, in the words of the Midrash, the tree was not for hanging. How did he want to hang him? When they talk about hanging, don't think hanging noose.
Gallows.
What?
Wasn't it a gallows?
No. Amen. Right. Crucify. Crucifixion. That's in the words of the Midrash. That's how they hung people. Right? There wasn't that kind of hanging. It was a different kind of hanging. My question to you is, why now? Why does he have that? Why does he hate Mordechai now? What about 2 days ago? What about 3 days ago? Why today does he decide all of a sudden to kill Mordechai? Look at page 1. See where it says line about where it says 15, so the number of the line 15, the achshav. See where it says the achshav? Right there. The achshav ra'ah, and now he saw. Why did he decide not to kill Mordechai? Shekara oto im hamelech. The queen called him. I'm sorry, go back one line. Tesh, Sameach v'tov lev, two lines. Pirush Sameach, hu simcha atzmiit, personal joy. V'tov lev, good-hearted. Why was Haman good-hearted? And no morach lav, he had nothing more to be afraid of. Ki ad achshav haya mityarei shema ohevet et Mordechai. He always had his doubts about that Queen Esther. Maybe she had a connection to Mordechai. She loved him. Why? Ki higdila b'beito. Everybody knew that Mordechai had raised Esther.
Achshav.
Maybe she's not a Jew. Who knows? I don't know. V'achshav ra'ah. I don't know. I can't answer. V'achshav ra'ah shekara otoim hamelech. And now she sees after he sees Haman after the whole decree. She doesn't pick Mordechai. But Mordechai lo kara. Who does she invite to the party? Haman. Mistama ohevas oseo yotem Mordechai. She must like him more than she likes Mordechai. She changed her mind. Oh, who's got the upper hand? Haman. Move in with Haman. No, no problem. Forget Mordechai. It was all a ruse. She was all just trying to get to the top. She became the queen, and now she attaches herself to the, better man.
Fortune.
Yeah, there you go. The kachtiv achshav. Now, that's why it says now. Vayimalei haman al Mordechai chema. Now he gets mad. Why does he get mad? Ki achshav alma bitchono. He got Esther and I have it. Why is he mad now? Because I'm not afraid anymore. I can't stand that guy today because yesterday I was afraid to do anything to him because maybe he has a relationship with the queen. But now that the queen invited me, that guy, goodbye. And by the way, what was Zeresh's advice? Zeresh's advice was hang him on a tree. But what should he do first? What did he say?
Tell the king.
What?
Tell the king.
When?
Before?
When?
Or after?
What did Zeresh say? She's very specific. In the morning. What does Haman do? He can't wait. And what happens? Because he happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
King
says, hey, what happened to Mordechai? We're going to see you next week. So Zeresh says, wait till the morning. And Haman can't wait till the morning. That is the beginning of his unravel. As we'll see.
Because he didn't listen to his wife.
Zeresh is one screwed cookie. She knows what's going on. Okay, I began by asking you, hey, why is it called Tainus Esther? Why is it specifically called Tainus Esther? So, the other question I really want to ask you is, we saw that Esther had all these grand plans in the Midrash. She thought to herself, she planned this, she planned that. The Megillah spends what I would consider an inordinate amount of text talking about Haman's conversation with his wife. oh, everything's great, and this, and it's not worth anything to me. And she tells him advice, and you should go hang him, and, you know, they have this whole long conversation. But what we learn a lot about Haman's plans. But what do we learn about Esther's plans? Nothing. Zero. Silence. Nothing. There's this juxtaposition, if you think about it. It's unweighted. Wouldn't the Megillah want to tell you much more about Esther than it would about Haman?
Couldn't tell you more about Esther.
Why?
The king was going to read it.
What?
The king was going to read it. He can't make the king look
like a fool. Okay, there's a way to say everything. In fact, this Megillah has no problem saying making the king look like a moron without telling him. Right? You know what I'm saying? So why that weight? And I think that what the Megillah is trying to highlight is that juxtaposition. You could have all the planning in the world, and you could have all the discussions in the world, and you could have all the thought and the planning and the desire. But if God is not on your side, you're going to fail. You're doomed to failure. As opposed to Esther, what does Esther do? Let's look at the Brat, the Vomagon. Source number two. Vatebash Esther Malchut. The Amru says the Vomagon. Shalav Shav Ruach HaKodesh. Here I am, source number two.
Mm-hmm.
So remember we learned the Zohar. Why did the Zohar say that she had Ruach HaKodesh? The Zohar said she had Ruach HaKodesh because she kept her mouth shut. Because she didn't speak about others. The Zahayna Mibnei She'en Ruach HaKodesh. So I asked, why did she get Ruach HaKodesh? She'en Ruach HaKodesh Shora Ela Al Guf Shavur. She broke herself. What does that mean? Why did Esther merit Ruach HaKodesh? Because she totally and completely subjugated herself to God. And she said to God, she fasted 3 days, and then she said to God, look, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I've got plans, I've got ideas, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work, who knows? So you know what? It's up to you. I'm going to put myself in your hands. I'm going to put my head down. And whatever happens, happens. And that's when Esther is Lav Sheva Ruach HaKodesh. When does she have divine inspiration? When does God give her strength? When she finally acknowledges that her strength will not come from herself, but it will come from the hand of God. It will come from His inspiration.
And that's real humility.
And that's real humility. As opposed to Haman, who has the upper hand, and he has everything, and he has strength, and money, and power. And in reality, we all know he has nothing. Which he's right about in the end. Why is it called Tainus Esther? So now we'll look back. Let's look again at what the Mr. Brewer said. Source number one. Nikra Tainus Esther. Source number one.
Just so you don't mislead us. Your one's there, and ours is up here.
Oh, whoops. Okay. Source number one anyway. Nikra Tainus Esther. Why is it called Tainus Esther? Kidei lishkoi sha'ashem yisbarach roa b'shomea kol ish be'eis tzarasa. To remind us that God hears every person in his time of need. Ka'asher yis'aneh, when he afflicts himself. V'yashuv al Hashem b'chol levavo. And he returns to God with all his heart. Why is it called Tainus Esther? Because Esther was the model for the person who stopped trying to figure it out, and stop trying to have ideas, and stop trying to have plans, and broke herself, and said to God, you know what? In the bottom line, in the end, it's all up to you anyway. That's why you have Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is because Esther was the model, the person that set the example for us, of placing your trust in your hands in God. Ruach HaKodesh comes, divine inspiration comes, when you have that trust, and you have that faith. And all the plans in the world without it won't get you anywhere. But no plans and the hand of God can save the Jewish people.
And you might say that Haman tried to be God.
Well, Haman clearly tried to be God. But I think it's something to remember when we talk about Tainus Esther. You know, it's one of the lighter fasts. Sometimes the things that are more optional are the most optional. Those are the things that have the most power for us. You know, who doesn't have what to fast for? Who doesn't have what to ask for? Who doesn't have things that we need to ask God about? So sometimes the things that we're asking for, the things that we want the most, they come when we stop trying to figure it out and get the answers. They come most when we say to God, I don't know the answer. We put ourselves in your hands. Okay, we'll continue this week.